Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to another service, Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. We look forward to bringing you this service today. We've been gone for a couple of weeks on vacation, but we're excited about being back. We invite all of you to join us on Zoom if you have not done so before. This is where you get a chance to see all of your Unity friends, hear some great music, and also have discussion about either the lesson or some other things that are going on in your life. So we look forward to bringing it. Oh, I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
Right? And we're going to get started today with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach that there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement together. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. Now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, July 25th. The key word is journey, and the affirmation is, my life's journey begins and ends in the heart of God. I feel excitement at the beginning of a journey, thinking about the adventures, the beautiful sights, and the fascinating people I will meet at my journey's end. Even as I look forward to reaching my destination, however, I remain alert, open to the adventures and insights that await discovery along the way. My faith tells me that my spiritual journey began in the heart of God, long before my human birth. In childhood, I looked outward, longing for the adventures that would become waypoints on my journey to maturity. Now I journey inward, longing for the spiritual home I never really left. I am learning that even the most ordinary day can become an opportunity to realize that the heart of God is present everywhere. The scripture is taken from Psalm 121:8, and it reads, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore." Amen. And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, today we have an interesting topic. I don't know if you have seen it already, but it's called a comma or a period to your life story. All right. So the question is, you know, how do we come up with that title? Well, Pam and I were watching a movie, a Netflix movie, titled The Dream Seller. And it began with a well-dressed, very successful psychologist who walked into his office on the 20th floor of his tall office building, and he opened the window, stepped out with the intention of jumping to his death, right? But of course, you know, he stood there for a while, and a crowd began to form, you know, 20 stories below, the police, the fire department, the whole bit. And while this confusion was going on, a street person came upon the scene, looked up and saw the man and kind of looked around him at what people were doing. And he worked his way through the crowd and into the building, you know, and everything was going on. And that's sometimes what happens, you know, we say we don't really see street people. And so he really used that to walk into the building, got on the elevator, went up to the 20th floor, and he looked out on the edge and saw the man standing there. And he stepped out and he sat down on the ledge, all right, 20 feet, 20 stories up. And, you know, the psychologist looked at him and freaked out, you know, because he caught him off guard. And he says, "Why are you here?" He says, "You can't talk me down." He says, "I'm not here to talk you down. I'm just here to talk." And so, you know, he began to casually chat, you know, with the very surprised psychologist. And after they talked for quite a while, when the psychologist asked him, you know, "Why are you here?" Okay. And the street person explained that he gives people what they need. Joy for the saddened, hope for the downtrodden, peace for the troubled. So the psychologist says, "Well, what do you have for me?" To which he responded, "I have a comma." At first I thought he said karma, but he meant comma, C-O-M-M-A, all right? He says, what do you mean? You know, the psychologist asked him, what do you mean you have a comma for me? Well, the man said, if you jump, you will end your life with a period. But if you accept the comma I have for you, you can continue to write your life story from a different perspective. And I thought to myself, I turned to Pam and says, wow, there's got to be a talk in there somewhere, right? And what an incredible concept for each one of us to explore in our own lives. And of course, in this lesson, we're not referring to the literal ending of our lives. Rather, this scene in the movie is being used as a metaphor for each of us to explore how we can continuously write and rewrite our own story by simply adding a comma instead of a period. Okay. Now, you know, we've been hearing so much lately about how the pandemic has given us a chance to reinvent ourselves and our lives. But if you think about it, life has always been filled with opportunities to inspire us to reinvent and write different stories for ourselves. And this, you know, isn't saying that we weren't great as we were, okay? But everything around us is constantly being reinvented, continuously explored, expanded. You know, the world is just continuously, I'd like to say, reinventing itself. And those of us who've been around for a while can attest to the fact that there are now options and inventions and ways of living available to us today that in our younger years were not, you know, would have been seen as, you know, science fiction, okay? And today, we just take all of these, what would you call them, luxuries and things that we, you know, make our lives so much easier, we just take them for granted. For example, how many of you are using the Facebook Portal TV, okay? It's a little device that fits on top of your TV, where instead of, you know, doing a video call with a family and friends all huddled around a little, you know, cell phone, you can use the largest TV in your house and make it feel as if you're in the same room with the folks that you're speaking with, okay? Again, there was a time in our lives when this would have been inconceivable, you know? So the question we each need to ask ourselves is, where do I want my story to go next, okay? And we can get a hint as to where our life story is headed by thinking to ourselves, what is my reality? Okay, is my reality stuck right where I am, or is my reality constantly expanding, taking advantage of all of the opportunities that keep unfolding in our world? And, you know, reality is being used here as a sum total of all that you are, both what you know about yourself and what you do not yet know about yourself, okay? I mean, how many of you have had moments in your life when you discovered something about yourself you didn't even know before, right? And yes, sometimes it can be a good thing you discover, and sometimes it can be a not so good thing. But no matter how you label what you discover about yourself, it always presents you with the opportunity to use a period to end the story you don't like, and a comma, which allows you to explore newfound aspects about yourself. So to continue this discussion, let's move into sort of the metaphysics of the realities that affect our entire existence. That being the premise that there are two realities that impact our life experience. And this is important to note that the word premise means a proposition upon which argument is based or from which a conclusion is drawn. Now, the reason I wanted to define that word is because I want us to realize that life is always presenting us with a proposition. A proposition being an idea or a plan of action that's being presented to us for possible acceptance. Okay. Now, as we talked about in previous lessons, the true acceptance of any idea typically occurs only after one has had an intimate experience that proves that the idea is possible, okay? Because a lot of times things come to us and we say, well, that's just not possible. But then we'll have some kind of experience that will prove that it can be possible, all right? See, when we say that's not possible in my life, we just put a period on that idea. But when we're open and receptive to the divine possibility that we can move forward on what this idea is, instead of putting a period, we put a comma. Says, I don't really know how I'm going to go about doing it now, but I am open and receptive to divine guidance. Okay? So based on this reasoning, we're investigating the premise that there are two realities that impact our decision to use a period to end a certain aspect of our life story, or a comma, which allows us to explore a new proposition life is presenting us with. Okay. So the first reality emerges out of the practice of what is called horizontal theology. So this first reality out of the two that we're going to look at is called what's called the practice of horizontal theology. Now this is the theology that Jesus was referring to in John 13:34 when he said, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Okay? So, horizontal theology is a reality we experience in this world. Okay? Horizontal. The people we interact with, our jobs, the circumstances we find ourselves in, the opportunities we take advantage, that's all horizontal theology. Okay, it's the experience in this world. That's why Jesus said love one another, because that's part of our experience in this world. And it's where we're continuously presented with the opportunity to express love in all aspects of our lives. Love provides us with a comma that gives us a way out of the thinking that has us stuck in certain fears and beliefs about ourselves. Also about our lives and about others, okay? So if we find ourselves stuck in a belief about ourselves, this is just how I am, and there's nothing else I can do about that, about our lives in general, this is just how my life has been or how our life is, or what we think about others, we're using a period to keep ourselves from being expanded beyond what we're presently thinking and believing. So the mental use of periods in many aspects of our lives causes us to believe that there is no better story for us, whereas commas can give us the freedom of faith to take our story to new heights of love and compassion for all aspects of the human experience. Okay, so not just all that new heights of love for others, but love for all the different aspects of the human experience, okay? And it's not that you love that something challenging may be happening. It's not that you're necessarily loving the challenge. It's a consciousness of love that you move through the challenge with. Love as opposed to fear, all right? So we've said so many times, there are only two ways you can live, in love or in fear. So that's what we're trying to get at, is that as these things come up, is that you find yourself trying to move through them with love. And I'm going to talk more about that concept of love, hopefully from a little different perspective as we move on. So horizontal theology is choosing the mental, emotional way of love through the many challenges life presents you with. It's choosing the mental, emotional way of love through the many challenges life presents you with. Now, theology means thinking about God, the good, manifesting in all areas of your life. So when you say about horizontal theology, you are the theology part of it. The horizontal is in this life experience, okay? The theology of the horizontal theology is that you're thinking about God, the good, manifesting in all areas of your life. So through this practice, you'll begin to understand that living from love eventually creates the divine reality of love in your whole life story, no matter which direction it takes. Okay? That's the nature of horizontal theology. Okay? It creates a divine reality of love in your life story, no matter which direction your life takes. So the inclusion and practice of horizontal theology in your life story is necessary for spiritual survival as well as spiritual evolution, right? So a love consciousness causes you to evolve spiritually. So sometimes you'll say, I just don't know how I can love in this situation. But if you begin to think about what your goal is on the spiritual path, it is to evolve spiritually, then that becomes your horizontal theology, and what you're dealing with in your life begins to become so important to you to remain in this consciousness of love, because you want to continue to evolve spiritually. You want your life story to evolve spiritually. Now notice, Jesus did not mention the way of love as a suggestion. He didn't say, I suggest. Okay? He said, I give you a commandment. And the word commandment is significant here because from the revealing word, it says commandment has to do with the orderly working out of divine principle in our lives. So when we are given a commandment from Spirit, or we read a commandment in Scripture, okay, it has to do with the orderly working out of divine principles in our lives. So Jesus is saying, this is the way you get divine principle to work in your life. So when Jesus gave us the commandment to love one another, especially just as he loved us, he's telling us that this is the way to get divine principle again to work in an orderly way in the story of your life. That's why one of my affirmations that I write into my gratitude journal, thanks, every night is, I'm grateful God is first in my life, revealing to me the orderly process of my life. For the note takers, I am grateful that God is first in my life, revealing to me the orderly process of my life. That's a really important dynamic, okay, of understanding. We would call it divine order, okay? But, you know, when we talk about divine order, we're talking about how these things in our lives work out in an orderly way. Not always in the order that we think it should be in, because it's working in divine order, which really trumps our own thinking process. So divine principle is the fundamental truth as it pertains to God. Divine principle is the fundamental truth as it pertains to God. It is the underlying plan by which Spirit moves in expressing itself in our lives. Divine principle inspires the manifestation of what we have been praying for. Okay, so when you're saying, I've been praying and praying and praying, there's an orderly unfolding of that prayer process that you're asking for. And it is being guided by divine principle. Okay, and it appears in our lives as things like faith, you know, you go from fear to faith. It appears as love. It appears as wisdom, prosperity, perfect health, forgiveness, just to name a few. Right? And these are the principles we want to experience in our life story. Okay, not with a period, but with a comma, leaving our story open for more of God's infinite good to continuously come into our lives. That's why our prayer a lot of times is, God, this or something better. Okay, the or something better is the comma. All right. That, so if you say, God, I need this, and you said, then you're just absolute about what this is, you put a period on God. All right. You want a comma, you know, this or something better, because a lot of times what's in store for us is beyond our even our comprehension. So you ask, how do I get divine principle to work in my life in an orderly fashion? It is by consciously practicing the reality of horizontal theology, which is you or we must practice remaining in a consciousness of love through the many circumstances and challenges that, you know, that affect our faith, peace, love, and joy. Okay? So when the stuff comes up, you want to remember, I'm operating in horizontal theology. Okay, I'm operating in thinking about God. If you think of theology as thinking about God, so I'm operating in horizontal theology. No matter what comes up, I'm staying in horizontal theology. I'm thinking about God and the good that God is going to manifest in my life. So this is the nature of horizontal theology. It is a premise, the proposition, the divine idea that we must practice through good times and not so good times. So how do we do that? You know, how do we practice this through, you know, we can practice it maybe through the good times, but how do we practice it through the not so good times? Okay? Well, Thich Nhat Hanh says in his book, The Miracle of Mindfulness, he says, practice looking at all beings with the eyes of compassion. Now, let me say it again. Practice looking at all beings with the eyes of compassion. This is called the meditation of compassion. Now, you run into folks that are getting on your last nerve. What he's saying here is, in that situation, instead of going to the space we normally go to, he says, practice looking at all beings with the eyes of compassion. This, he says, is called the meditation of compassion. He also says meditation is a serene encounter with reality, okay? And in this case, we're talking about horizontal reality, which is our story in this physical reality we call life, okay? So much of our life has to do with our interactions with others. So Thich Nhat Hanh is saying, use that time to practice compassionate meditation by looking at all beings with the eyes of compassion. Right? So that puts another spin on the life experience. Now when stuff comes up, especially when you interact with other people, the spin on this is now, instead of we having that normal ego reaction, is we say, wow, this is a time to practice looking at this person with the eyes of compassion. And this is a method of practicing horizontal theology, which again is thinking about God, the good, manifesting in all areas of your life. So you say, well, how can I do that in the midst of a challenging situation when somebody is whatever is happening, blah, blah, blah. Well, the key here is, it's the idea of thinking about God, the good, manifesting in your life, in all areas of your life. And it's sort of like, what do you want? Do you really want to have a reaction to what is happening? Or do you want to have God, the good, manifesting in all areas of your life? So it's sort of the choice we make. Okay? And so once we understand that the principle of horizontal theology no longer, once we really understand that principle of horizontal theology, no longer would we struggle with holding on to fear in any form, because we would understand that to do so would disrupt our compassion meditation. Okay. Now again, fear puts a period in your story, trapping you in the fear, unable to write a different story. Does that make sense? Fear puts a period in your story, trapping you in fear, unable to write a different story. Whereas a comma allows you to redirect your story away from fear and move to love. A comma allows you to think and feel your way into the divine principle of perfect order flowing freely in your life. Now, the other reality, remember I said there's two realities, we just went through horizontal reality. The other reality, of course, would be vertical theology. Horizontal theology is all the things that life is giving us to practice this idea of compassionate meditation, okay? Now, let's look at vertical theology, right, which is loving God. However, you may have already figured out that what we have said so far is the understanding that we cannot learn to remain centered, we cannot learn to work with loving God if we have not learned with working with loving each other and the circumstances in our lives, okay? We cannot love God and, you know, yeah, we've heard that verse, I can't think of it right off the top of my head, where, well, you bring in your gifts to the altar, and, you know, Spirit says, you know, before you bring your gift to the altar, go and make amends with your brother and your sister, okay? So in other words, you cannot practice vertical theology if you're not successful in practicing horizontal theology, okay? The two realities are intertwined, which is the nature of God. Now, as Thich Nhat Hanh explains in his book, Going Home, Jesus and Buddha as Brothers, that's the name of the book, Going Home, Jesus and Buddha as Brothers. He said there's interbeing, now listen here, there is interbeing between the two realities. In other words, there's interbeing between horizontal and vertical realities. Now, that word interbeing, we're going to expand on it because it's meaning that one enters into the being of the other, all right? You cannot have one without the other. You cannot have horizontal theology without vertical theology, and you cannot have vertical theology without horizontal theology. Therefore, we cannot truly love God without love for ourselves and each other, because they are all intertwined into one divine idea we call God. Okay. Now, to further explain interbeing as being, the nature of God, listen to this quote, okay? It comes from an article I found on the internet called Evolutionary Psychology is the name of it, but the article itself is called Interbeing Definition. And it says, the law of interbeing says that everything is connected to everything else. Interbeing makes us see our place in the universe, our relationship to nature, and our relationship to each other differently. The same life force that runs through you runs through me and through all other living beings. We are all connected in a complex web. So when we harm nature, animals, and other humans, we are harming ourselves, not in a figurative sense, but in a literal sense. Okay? So the question to ponder is, if we could truly understand the nature of God as being interbeing, let me say that again because that's an important, we're expanding on this idea of God, okay? If we could truly understand the nature of God as being interbeing, as explained in this article, could we, would we write different life stories with outcomes based on our connectedness rather than our separateness, okay? Would we be able to erase the periods that have our life story stuck in certain fears and prejudice and beliefs, okay? Because if we each think about all the stories we have written where there is a lack of love, God, who is love, is being purposely left out of our story. And yes, we have other stories where we are sure we are including God. You know what I'm saying? We can say, well, yeah, I'm really upset about that. It makes me angry or whatever it is that, you know, fearful or whatever. Okay. But we'll say, well, I got these other stories where, you know, me and God are good. Right. All right. But the very nature of interbeing is expressing that if God, who is love, is left out of one of our stories, God is being left out of all of our stories. Okay, let me make that more personal. If I'm leaving God out of one of my stories, then I'm leaving God out of all of my stories, okay, because of the nature of interbeing. So to be specific, as an interbeing, you cannot leave God, who is love, out of any of your life stories. So when you leave love out of any of your relationships and life affairs, you frustrate the orderly working of the divine principle of interbeing in your life. Okay? So include love in all of your relationships, and you, if you do that, you will celebrate and accelerate the orderly working of divine principle in your life. Okay? So we must learn to consciously practice both horizontal and vertical theology. We must practice being interbeings. So now when you think about God, expand your thinking. Again, you remember there's this concept that we are separate from God. But if you understand God is an interbeing and we are interbeings, then we are all being in God all at the same time. Okay? And Thich Nhat Hanh shares a simple conversation that he had with nature that captures the concept of interbeing. He said, he's talking with nature now, right? He says, can I trust you, nature? And nature replied, well, can I trust you? He thought about it and he said, you can pretty much trust me. To which nature responded, you can pretty much trust me. We are nature and nature is us. The separation we make in the modern world is arbitrary, and if we adjusted our thinking, we would start treating the world and each other very differently. Okay? So how do we come to this place in consciousness where we realize we are not just human beings separate from each other, but rather we are interbeings divinely connected to each other? Well, I repeat, Thich Nhat Hanh's formula for practicing this is practice looking at all beings with the eyes of compassion. This is called the meditation of compassion. And I'm going to end with this affirmation for us to practice this week. It's from Science of Mind magazine, actually on Friday. Okay? And it says, today I move to a new place in consciousness. I release old limiting ideas and turn to new ways of thinking and being. I allow the great revelation of interbeing to begin in me. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
I invite you now to relax, take a deep breath, and pause in this moment as you allow the Holy Spirit to restore your mind and body to its natural state. I'm calling this meditation a new beginning. Please place your feet flat to the earth, relax your neck and shoulders, and imagine yourself as the new you. I ask that you take the following words as your very own. This time of quiet meditation opens my mind and my heart. As I take time to still my thoughts and relax my body, I find it easy to tune in to that holy place within. Taking a few deep cleansing breaths, I calm and quiet any disturbing thoughts and emotions. I am centered and poised. Any appearance of lack or chaos in my life seems distant as I feel the calm peace of my soul deep within. In this place, I hold fast to the highest vision of who I am. I believe in myself, and I follow my heart. I am open to new possibilities, new beginnings. I can reach for the fulfillment of my heart's desire. I have faith in myself and allow desire a chance to flower and bloom in my life. I have the inner strength to not despair when things seem to go wrong. These obstacles are only twigs or branches on my path that I gently and easily remove out of my way as I continue forward. My energy of quiet determination and faith mold any situation to a positive outcome. I take positive action toward my good, and my good multiplies. New doors of possibility open for me each and every moment. And now, as we enter into this special time in the secret place of the highest, take the words from this meditation that resonated with you and keep them in your mind and close to your heart, for they are the truth of who you are. Take this time now to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. We are thankful, gracious Spirit, that you have heard all our prayers this morning. Unity family, as we leave this time of meditation, your vision for your highest and best remains clear, and you remember that the Unity Center of Light family is always here for you. We are grateful in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and feel your new beginning.
Thank you. You're welcome. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home here at Unity Center of Light. We have put in the comments at the bottom of this recording all the different ways that you can give, and that's in response to people who have been saying to us, you know, I'm watching your service and you don't show us any way to give. So We have that down in the comments right below recording. So with that in mind, let us do our affirmation. I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your heart. I know many of you give automatically through automatic giving and so forth. So just, you know, hold it in your mind and in your heart as we say our affirmation together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. Now you have some light notes?
Yes. Light notes for Sunday, July 25th. The prayer chaplain team will host a celebration of life for our beloved Joan Fitzgerald today at 1 p.m. on Zoom. All are invited to participate. Joan made her transition July of 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic. We are not aware that any celebration of her life was ever held. So we will share a few things about Joan and then open it up to you to share your memories of her. The Zoom link is in your weekly updates. The Bowie Food Pantry has begun their backpack and school supplies collection. You may drop them off the same way you did with your food items. A list of what is needed is in your weekly updates. We very much appreciate your support of the families in the Bowie area. And now you have an announcement.
Oh, yes. So, you know, there's this ongoing discussion about opening back up, reopening for in-person service. There's interesting some technical challenges to that as well, because in our Zoom service, we have so many people that are around the country. And if we just go back into in-person without having the technology to also include those people, we're leaving a lot of them out. And that's not just us. That's churches, you know, around the country. I'm in a meeting with ministers every Thursday at 10:45 for an hour, and we are talking about, you know, the challenges of coming back in person. So it's not just the safety side of it, it's also the technical side of it, is how do we do a simultaneous hybrid in-person service. So what we did, we sent out a survey, and we want to get your feedback on your thoughts about, you know, moving back into in-person service. And so it's extremely important that you fill that survey out.
Everybody.
It's in the e-newsletter, and it's so that you can fill it out right there online and submit it. So in a constant contact, that e-newsletter that comes every week to you from April, please fill out that survey. We've gotten about 30, 40 responses so far, and we really want to get everybody to respond.
And the link is going to be in the chat box for Zoom Fellowship.
Right, in the Zoom Fellowship. Right after this, we're going to put the link for it in the chat box. So that means we really, really need your support in getting that filled out. So thank you for that in advance. So now it is time for us to bless the path we will walk. Are we going to say it?
Yes, we're going to bless the path that we walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
Together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Let's go right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So thank you for being with us. It's been fun having you in our virtual service. And we look forward to seeing you in Zoom. Otherwise, have a wonderful week.
See you later.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye.